Would you turn in your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah, chapter 43. I'd like to talk to you today about new beginnings. Isaiah, chapter 43, I'll read verses 1 through 3, and then we will skip down and read verses 16 through 21. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I'll skip down to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed myself. They shall show forth my praise. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Admiral Richard Byrd's second trip to the South Pole is a fascinating story. The 180th meridian is an imaginary but important marker. It is the international date line. When a traveler crosses it, he either adds a day or subtracts a day, depending on his direction. Admiral Byrd spoke of his experience of flying southward to the pole. He said, "All the time we continued flying as closely as possible along the 180th meridian. Even without wind drift, for which adequate correction can be made, it is obvious no navigator can fly exactly along a mathematical straight line. Consequently, we were zigzagging constantly from today into tomorrow and back again into yesterday." At this time of year, our minds do that. They zigzag, don't they? We live today in this new year. We think about the things that happened in the last year. We're looking ahead to the future of this year. And we're zigzagging back and forth, living from this year to last year. And as we come up on last year, our minds begin to think of things that happened, and some are cheering and some are quite sobering. But in this message, I want us to look ahead. Paul gives specific directions for living each day. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." How many of you have ever been to a circus? Can I see your hand? Most of you, all right? Remember those large elephants that they have at the circus? I don't know if you've ever thought it was a little strange or not, but those elephants are held down, they're tied down by a peg. And I got to thinking, you know, if those elephants really wanted to, there's nothing that was going to keep those elephants tied down. Certainly that little peg is not going to hold those elephants. But you know, they never try to escape. And do you ever wonder why they never try to escape? Because when they were baby elephants, they were tied to a huge stake that they could not pull out of the ground. And as much as they tried, they would only suffer failure. They would never be able to pull that peg out of the ground. And so even as the elephant would grow older and it would be stronger and would have enough power to pull that peg out and to escape, it only thinks of the futility of its past efforts, and he is conditioned to failure. If you are reaching ahead in this new year, I want you to consider even the things that you may have failed in the past. when you were much younger and much weaker. You know that you are stronger and you are more powerful today. And in some cases, if you would simply try again, you would find that you could break free and that you would be victorious. I wouldn't want anybody to be conditioned to failure, to have tried in the past and failed, and so not even to try again in the future. I challenge you to reach ahead, to reach forward, and to break any bonds that might hold you down this new year. Make a fresh start and forget the things that may have been holding you back in the past. The new year is a year of new beginnings and new things. Some of you will be getting married this year. In fact, I know of three couples in the church that are engaged. That will be a new thing for them, a new life for them. Some will have a new baby. Some of you might have a new job or a new ministry. We are all going to be walking into new territory, uncharted territory. In fact, all of us as a church will be walking into a new land, quite literally, as hopefully by this time next year we'll have a new building and a new place of worship. We are going to enter into new things, new territories. All of us will. And as I thought about this, I thought about the time the Israelites came into the new land, the promised land, in the book of Joshua. We find that Moses, the great leader, had died, and Joshua was appointed to be the next one to lead that great nation. And he would lead them into the new land, the promised land, the land of Canaan. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel is about to take possession of the land, which God had promised generations earlier. In fact, he had promised it way back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And the book of Joshua is about the battles that the Israelites fought in order to claim the promise, in order to claim the land that God had given to them. The book of Joshua is a book about warfare. It's a book about suffering, and it's a book about great victory. And you know, that is the same way it's going to be in our life. There are always going to be wars. There are always going to be fightings. There are always going to be struggles. And of course, with the fighting and with the struggles, there's going to be some suffering. But the end result of it all is that there will be some new victories. And that's what I'm looking forward to this year. You know, you need to be quite honest, and you need to face the fact that when you enter into anything new, there's going to be a struggle. And there's going to be some suffering that takes place as a result, but you look ahead to the victory. You look ahead to the promises of God that will be fulfilled. You look ahead to the time when all of the fighting and the suffering is over and you've reached the new land. Life is like that. All of life is like that. There's always going to be battles, there's always going to be suffering, and there's always going to be victories for the Christian. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Would you please? Joshua chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 9 verses of this chapter for you. You may follow along if you'd like. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's a lot of great stuff in this chapter. And there's a lot of great stuff in these verses. And probably in the weeks ahead, I'm going to comment on some of those things. But for this morning, I want you to realize that these people, this nation of Israel, and Joshua in particular, received a call from the Lord. And all of us receive callings from God. And God may be calling you to do something or to walk in something new this year, even as the Israelites were to walk into the new land. Joshua is reminded that the Lord has already given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. And Joshua is commanded to lead the people into Canaan to claim the land that has been promised to them by the Lord. Now, God has already promised you victory in your life. There is no need for you to continue to wander in your own wildernesses. The Israelites had a land. All they had to do was claim that land. And God has victories for you, and God has experiences for you, and He has already promised you the victory in those areas, and now you simply need to claim those promises. Claim those victories and walk in them. But as you do that, you need to realize that God is calling you specifically to have confidence in Him. Joshua is reminded of some very precious promises in these verses. Notice what God promised him: the promise of victory over every enemy, the promise of the presence and the power of God, the promise of the faithfulness of God, the promise of absolute victory, and the promise of God to keep His promises. And may I remind you today that the promises that God made to Joshua are the promises that He keeps with you this morning as well. You can still count on the Lord to do everything for you that He did for Joshua. You can count on the Lord to give you victory over all of your enemies. You can count on the Lord to be ever present with you and all powerful for you. You can count on the Lord to remain faithful to you. You can count on the Lord to give you absolute victory. You can count on the Lord to keep His promises that He has made. The Old Testament in the land of Canaan is described as a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that was had luscious clusters of grapes and pomegranates and figs. The New Testament describes our promised land, our land of Canaan, as a place which there is peace which passes all understanding. Our promised land results in joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You know, regardless of conditions, we want joy. We want happiness. I mean, is there anybody here that doesn't want happiness in the coming year? I think we all want happiness. And if anybody should be happy, if anybody should be joyful, it should be the Christian. But the average Christian is not known for his joy. Psychology Today magazine took a poll of 40,000 readers. 83% responded that their main question was, how can I find real happiness? How can I find real happiness? Many times we think of Christians as being solemn people, all seriousness and severity. Some of us are like the country boy whose grandmother forbade him to do anything fun. Dejected and lonely, he walked down to the barn fence, and while he was there, a mule came up and put his head into the boy's hand. Patting the sad face of the mule, the boy commiserated, "Poor fellow, you must be a Christian too." The Christian life is a life that is exciting. The Christian life is one of joy and happiness. Christians have a reason to be the happiest people in the world. Their happiness is not based on the conditions of the world, but upon the conditions of their heart. They are happy because of God and not because of man. Our promised land, the New Testament promised land for the Christian, is that peace which passes all understanding. It is that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It is that blessing, blessedness. Because as Paul said, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The place of the promised land for the New Testament Christian is the place where we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. In fact, more than conquerors, the Greek term means supra conquerors. We not only conquer, we conquer over and above conquering. It's not that the Christian wins over the devil 3-0. It's more like 1,000-0. We are supra conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. And so there is the calling of the Lord. And there's also a call here to carry out the law. The Lord tells Joshua that if he is to lead the people of God to rest in Canaan, then they are to take heed to the law of God. Remember, the law is an essential step in entering our Canaan as well. Notice what the Lord talked to Joshua when he talked to him about the law. The things that he has to say about the law was that it would make him prosperous. It would make him successful. And you know, I think the same thing applies to our lives today. Joshua was to keep the law. He was to do everything that the law said to do. He was not to turn aside in any way. Not to the right hand nor to the left. Not to turn aside in the least little bit. But he was to meditate on that law. To meditate means to muse upon, to think about. Day and night, his mind was to be occupied with the law. He was to love it and let it fill his heart and mind. This was so that his life could be centered in the law. And therefore, he would be able to do the will of God. And then he was to prosper because he honored the law. God's promise to Joshua was that if he lived his life around the law of God, then everything that he did would be made to prosper, and he would be very successful. What we need to do is build our lives around the Word of God. You know, we're not living under the law as such this morning. I'm glad that we are under grace, but having said that, I need to say that there are many in our day who have concluded that because we no longer live under the law, they are free to do anything that they please. I would like to remind you that that kind of thinking, that attitude is dangerous and is guaranteed to bring disaster and destruction into one's life. If you want to live in Christian victory today, then you have to develop a love for the Word of God. And just as Joshua was commanded to honor the law of God, we are commanded to honor and obey the Word of God, God's Word. And not only honor it, but to read it and study it and meditate on it so that we might obey it. Psalm 1 is one of my favorite psalms. It talks about the blessing is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law or the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The promise is that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. If you want success and you want prosperity in your life, then God says you have to love my word and you have to meditate on it. You have to think about it. You have to muse upon it day and night so that you will be careful to obey it. And then God says you will be prosperous and you will have good success. That's the way to success. And God carries it out for us, tells us how we can carry it out. And, you know, if we could just set aside. And here's a good resolution for you, to set aside some time each day to read from God's Word, just to go to the green pastures of God's Word and feed upon them. If you do that, you will be successful. your life will prosper. But if not, your spiritual life will be weak and ineffective. If you can read God's word on a daily basis, you are far on your way to entering into the victories that Canaan land has for you. But did you notice over and over again, God is telling Joshua to be strong and what? Good courage. The message that I want to leave with you this morning is twofold. It's that you need to be meditating on God's word, but that also you need to be courageous. You need to have good courage. Because as we enter into new beginnings and there's new things and new lands and new opportunities and new people in your life, maybe new jobs, maybe new ministries, you're going to need courage. You're going to need to be strong and you're going to have good courage. You need to have physical courage. You need to have moral courage. You need courage. By courage, we mean that power of the mind which holds up under all dangers and difficulties. Because let's face it, in the new land, there's dangers. Dangers awaited the people of Israel. There were giants in the land. Giants that needed to be driven out. Giants that needed to be conquered. It would take courage. When President Lincoln was nominated for a second term of office, the Army was in great need of recruits. He resolved to issue a call for 500,000 men, but leading members of Congress said it will endanger re-election, and they advised him to withhold the order. But he persisted and finally went personally before the Congressional Military Committee, where a similar attempt was made to induce him to withhold the order. But the attempt only evoked a higher and grander expression of courage. Stretching his tall form to its full height, he replied, with the fire of indignation flashing in his eyes, as if he had been asked to do an act of cruelty or meanness. It is not necessary for me to be reelected, but it is necessary for the soldiers at the front to have an additional 500,000 men. And I shall call for them, and if I go under because of the act, I will go down like the Cumberland with my colors flying, leaving with that assembly the highest moral principle and courage he could give to them. You know, if we had men like that today, and women, they're not concerned about themselves, but they're more concerned about the cause. As David said before he fought Goliath, is there not a cause? If we are more concerned about that than we are our own happiness or our own welfare or our own well-being or even reputation, we would be able to accomplish incredible things for the Lord. God is calling us to be people of courage. God is calling us to be men and women who are willing to stand. Because in our day, we really need to take a stand. Because there are issues out there that are going to have incredible impact upon our society one way or the other, either for good or evil, for righteousness or wickedness. And we need to be willing to take a stand. We need to be strong and very courageous. If the saints of God could have that courage, we could turn out missionaries. We could turn out great preachers. We could turn out even martyrs. I was thinking this week, I was reading actually about the morning star of the Reformation, John Wycliffe. His purpose in life was twofold: to teach people to read and to give them a copy of the Word of God. That was his goal in life. Do you know that it took great courage for him to do that? Because he had to stand up against the church, because the church did not want, it's hard for us to believe, but the church did not want people to know how to read and have their own copies of the Word of God. Many of the priests in those days themselves didn't know how to read. And so his whole desire was to teach people to read so that they could read the Word of God for themselves. When he died, December 31st, actually, he died on a New Year's Eve. Caused quite a stir because he left behind this legacy. 40 years later, the Catholic Church was so upset with Wycliffe that they dug up his bones and burned them. 40 years after his death. All of that happened because he was a man of courage. And some of the weeks to share, I want to share with you some of the things that have happened by divine providence because men were courageous. That led to us having our Bibles. Bibles in our own languages. We can trace it all the way back to John Wycliffe and his courageous stand for the Word of God. I want to challenge you this year to be men and women of courage, to stand for your convictions, to stand for that which is right. And as we go into the new land and as you face new opportunities, that you will be very courageous and you'll meditate upon God's word to get your marching orders from there. And God promises you that you will be prosperous and successful in all that you do. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Since we are talking about new beginnings, is there anybody here that needs to have a new life in Christ? You would like to begin this new year with a new relationship with Jesus Christ. You have not asked him to be your personal Savior, not experienced that which the Bible calls being born again, where Christ's eternal life is imparted to you, being born of the Spirit of God. Is there anybody here by a raised hand? You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I would like to be born again. I would like to be born anew. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, son. Praise the Lord. Anybody else today? Praise the Lord. We'll let mom and dad handle that one. Anybody else? Christian, can I challenge you in the two areas this morning? Meditating on God's word and demonstrating courage. If you are willing to do that, could you just raise your hand up to the Lord as a sign of commitment, just up and then down? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great examples that we have for us in your word and in our history. Thank you, Lord, for those who are willing to show their courage. Lord, help us to be very courageous in 2006. As we take our stand. Lord, we pray for those that will be entering into new things this year. Lord, that you would help them feel your presence. Lord, that you would help them to realize your victory. We pray, Lord, as this church goes through some new things this year and has some new beginnings with a new building, Lord, we know that there will be opposition. We know, Lord, that there will be battles to be fought. We know that there will be suffering that takes place. But, Lord, we thank you for the victory. Because we know, Lord, that every piece of ground that we walk upon will be conquered ground, already conquered by you. But Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And lead us from victory to victory, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.